Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Cannot. Welcome to our program tonight. David G. Hall, who is the Vice President of Syndication, has been a frequent contributor on our program, is going to join us, and we're going to talk about a rant that I did on the air a few weeks back that was replayed this evening here on Phil TV in HD on our pre-show. For those of you who are listening to our broadcast, we're so grateful to have you. If you'd like to join us for a little bit more than just the radio broadcast, we do have a Phil TV in HD pre-show. We do a little bit of a post-show sometimes, and you can watch and sort of join that larger part of the show over at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. But as we kicked off the feed tonight, there was this rant that I had done, and it had been posted by a listener over on Facebook, and I thought, well, I don't know what this is, but let's play it. What the hell? You know, I mean, usually there's music that's being played. Bud, you throw in some of your favorite crap to play, and, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I played that one song, though, Harold Melvin, the Blue Note. That sucked.
Never mind. So in any event, the rant got the attention of Mr. Hall, and it will be interesting when we get David on here in just a second to listen to his views on my views. And basically, my views were decidedly, I would have to say they are, it's what I've been talking an awful lot about here on the show. I try to marry the environment of broadcasting, the industry of broadcasting, which is what I work in. I try to marry that experience with what you guys are dealing with in your lives, because I don't think there's a whole lot different. I think all the industries that we all work in have a couple of things going wrong with them. One of them is a leadership crisis. We don't have the captains of industry that we used to have. Obviously, another has to do with the actual execution, and there are many levels of that. There is the actual performance of the job at hand. There are the people that go out and then sell what you make, or at least try to contact the public and make them aware of what you do, and there's the competition from overseas, and these are things that are beyond the scope of what you and I do as just the worker bees. So we'll talk with David here about that in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. So if you want a backstage pass and check out even more of our show, please do join us over there. We're giving away a free backstage pass for each and every month, and we're giving away a free one for the month of February, a free one, backstage pass. So all you have to do to register for a chance is go over to our fan page at Facebook. That's facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S, and like the page. You are registered to for the drawing. Or if you've already done that, you can go to Twitter and go to the show page, which is twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, and hashtag the name Phil Hendry. H-E-N-D-R-I-E is how you spell my last name. That's how my grandfather spelled it when he got off the boat, not at Ellis Island.
In Canada.
In Montreal, Canada, exactly. All right. 877-876-PHIL, and on the line with us from Pasadena tonight is David G. Hall, who is our Vice President of Syndication. David, good evening to you.
Good evening, Phil.
I take it that you took exception to the the rant, and that it was something that you said you wanted to talk about in private. I said I wouldn't mind talking about it on the air.
All right. Well, and I want your audience to know that that's what you said, that you don't mind talking about it on the air.
And well, I don't, because it has to do with something I said on the air.
All right, that's fair enough. But I want to let the audience know that I'm going to be candid.
Okay, as I will be.
Well, I don't know how candid you can be, Phil, when I'm coming from a position of directing you as to what it is you can or can't do on the air.
I can still be candid with my opinion.
You can be candid with your opinion, but it's not going to be a tug of war. I have to tell you some things. The rant that you did that was aired and then repeated during your Phil TV pre-show was one that we've heard before. It was one that took to task the broadcasting, the situation in broadcasting whereby a great many people who are on the air are used for more than one thing. And as the result of that, you feel they are being exploited.
That's true.
That is true.
That is true, yeah. Can I tell people what we're talking about?
Well, I think they already heard.
No, they didn't. There's a lot of people who didn't. When I did that rant, it was late in the show.
Well, see, what you're doing now is you're trying to make your argument again.
No, I'm not. I just want to let people know when I say they're exploited, I'm just saying that there's people on the air doing a radio show, then they're asked to voice track, then they're asked to do a lot of different things for not just one station, but a lot of different stations, and they're getting paid basically the same amount of money.
All right, so in other words, what you just did there is you made your argument, even though you were trying to get permission from me. And
well, I asked if I could, and I just made it as quickly as I could.
All right, well, I don't think that what you say about this issue, Phil, is as germane or as important as you want it to be. I have to tell you that people are more interested in their lives, and they're more interested in what's going on with their lives. And what you're saying about broadcasters, I think, probably offends people because you guys make a lot of money.
Well, hold on for just a second here.
Well, no. You guys make a lot of money.
No, not everybody makes a lot of money.
You guys, you're telling me you don't make a lot of money?
I'm not talking about me right now. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about that 99% of the people in broadcast, especially at the local level, they don't make a lot of money at all. And when you use them for...
Well, here you go making your argument again. I'm here to tell you that what you said on the air was very destructive. And you talking about yourself... And
I wasn't. What I talked about on that podcast was, yeah, I think I'm underpaid here in the radio world, but I'm not underpaid because there's a whole other area that I exploit, and that is called the internet. And the internet, thank God, is a place that the broadcasting world can't reach out and get a hold of me in. Okay, I can do my thing over there, I can make a living over there, and they can't do anything.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's very, I think that when you say that, you're saying it like you're almost a child saying, you know how kids are, they're going, yeah, 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 that you can't catch me.
And no, I'm not saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm saying, more than anything else, I'm saying thank God that that environment exists. But not everybody is... in my situation, not, you know, I've got a lot of years in, and I know a little bit of what I'm doing, and I've got a lot of material, and...
Yeah, and I also took note of the fact that you've been to some industry functions, and you have talked to a lot of young broadcasters, and you have, I guess, encouraged them to seek ownership of their material. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, you realize how destructive that is.
And no, that's not destructive at all. That's me going to a...
Yes, it is destructive because you're talking to young people who are going to go back to the company they're working for and go in and start demanding the rights to something that really isn't theirs to demand. You don't know what kind of contract they have. And
well, I'm not telling them to go back right that second and start making a problem.
Phil, here's what I'm saying. You know, you're talking like people care what you think. People want you to entertain them. But nobody cares what you think.
David.
Whoa, hold on. Hold on. Are you listening to me?
I am listening to you.
All right. No one cares what you think. Okay? Okay?
I disagree.
How can you disagree with that? Nobody cares what you think. People obviously are going to make up their own minds about things. You've got an opinion. People want you to entertain them. And you telling them what you think about the radio business, they don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about your opinion on the radio business. There's only one thing they care about. And that's you sitting down at night on your radio show, entertaining them. Now, it's unfortunate that I've got to come on the show and give you the facts of life, if you will. It's unfortunate that I've got to come on here and explain to you that your work environment and the broadcast work environment may be difficult for some broadcasters, no one cares. And they don't care about you. You are, let me tell you something. You were on the air not too long ago on the anniversary of your father's death. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I don't mean any disrespect, Phil. I do not mean... But you did this long thing about your father dying. No one cares.
No one cares, huh?
Not about your father being dead for 25 years.
It wasn't about that. It was about me observing that, and it was about me...
Well, hold on. You're not listening to me. You're talking again. Nobody cares about you and your tribute. Yes, we appreciate the fact you love your father, Phil. But you with your opinions about the broadcasting business or your father dying, no one could give two hoots. You understand? You don't get it, do you?
Well...
No one cares, Phil. No one cares about you. Excuse me for saying this, Phil. Your dead dad. Your opinions about the broadcasting business. None of it. They want you to entertain them. And when you don't, they could care less about your life and what you think is going wrong with it. Huh? Give me a vanilla. I got my daughter with me.
All right.
And I'm wasting time talking to you about your life. I'm enjoying time with my family. No one gives, excuse my language, Phil, nobody gives a damn whether you live or die. Let me put it as succinctly as I can.
I was just giving an opinion, okay?
I know that, but are you hearing me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. No one cares whether you live or whether you die, whether you get up tomorrow morning, or whether they find you dead and cold. No one cares.
My family.
Besides your family, everybody's family cares. I mean, out here in the world, the radio world, the broadcast world, no one cares. If you don't show up for work, yeah, they'll say, wow, where's Phil? He's dead. Well, we put another host in your chair, and we move on.
That's what you do.
That's what I... Yes! What do you think I am? No, I wouldn't, Phil. I'd shut the whole operation down. The entire world of broadcasting would shut down. You gotta get with it. And I find that you have not really embraced the reality here. You got opinions about a lot of things, but really, at the end of the day, no one cares whether you're walking around or whether you're laying in an alley somewhere for days. Days until they find you. You understand me?
Yeah.
Now go to your break.
Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Talking with David G. Hall, who is our Vice President of Syndication, about a broadcasting rant that I did at the beginning of our Phil TV broadcast. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. On the line with me is David G. Hall, the Vice President of Syndication for our radio show. And the comments that you made before the break, obviously, were not very easy to hear.
Well, I'm sorry for that, but I'm giving you the reality.
Well, we have people that want to talk on the air. What do we do?
I'm happy to take their phone calls, but understand... understand something. People are going to call in and defend you because that's the nature. People want to be sympathetic. And they want to, make maybe you feel better. But the reality is what I deal in. I don't deal in the touchy-feely feel, Mr. Feel-Good. You ever heard that song by What's the guy, Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood?
Well, there's been a number of Dr. Feelgood songs.
Well, the Motley Crue one.
Yes.
All right. I'm not here with Mr. Feel, Captain Feelgood or whatever the song was.
And it was Dr. Feelgood.
All right. But do you understand what I'm saying?
You're not here to...
I'm not here to make you feel better. I'm here to tell the truth. The people want to call in and say, as was indicated to me, they're going to call in and support you. They're saying that just to be nice. But look, I'm not saying that people don't care about you, Phil. I'm saying the radio listeners and the broadcasting industry, the cold reality, and the sooner you get this, the better off you're going to be. And the sooner anybody in radio gets this, the better off they're going to be. No one cares whether you are walking around and breathing or whether you are rotting in a box someplace. And, Phil, I hate to put it that way, but if you've ever seen these shows about serial murderers and they find the serial murderer's victim rotting in a box in a basement, if you were in that box, people couldn't care less. They wouldn't even break a sweat. I know it comes as very difficult news.
Well, it's, it devalues.
No, it doesn't devalue anything. It just, you get in, you entertain people, then you go home. And once you're off the air, they don't care whether you're in an automobile accident that throws you through a windshield and into a puddle of flaming fuel where you die. It doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to them because their lives are far more important. Now, let's take a phone call.
Okay.
Which one?
We're going to go to a guy named Charles on line 6. Here is Charles. You're on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I disagree with Mr. Hall. You entertain me. That's true. But even though I've never met you, I would take it very personally. I would be very devastated if anything were to happen to you.
Well, this is David Hall. Your name is Charles, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. You realize that Phil and I are in the business of, and I hate to put it this way, but we really are in the business of BS. So we know BS when we hear it.
No, we're not. I disagree with that.
Would you hold on, Phil, because I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to a man by the name of Charles. You understand, Charles, that we're in the business of BS. So when we hear it, we know it. I know you're a good guy. I know that you love your family. I know that you love your friends. Yeah. And I know you want Phil to feel better. I know you wanted to feel better in this moment, in this instant. But in the overall, you know and I know, Charles, you don't care whether Phil Henry tomorrow is put in cement by some bookies he owes money to and dropped to the bottom of the sea.
I don't owe money to bookies.
Hold on. I know you don't. Just hold on.
I disagree with you, Mr. Hall. I really don't care
about
him.
That's like a guy saying to a girl that he wants to sleep with, I really do care about you. You know what that is worth?
I have nothing to gain by BSing him.
Yeah, you do. You think maybe you could be friends with him and stuff like that.
Oh, man, this is embarrassing.
Well, huh?
I'll never meet him.
A lot of people want
to know him.
A lot of people want to hang out with the radio guy.
You know something, David?
Will you hold on, please? But I understand. I understand you want him to feel better, but I know my business. And even I have a hard time separating my business from reality. Sometimes I will think, I don't care whether Phil lives or dies. I have business to do. I've got a family to feed. If there's a guy that I could put in Phil's slot that makes more money, then I almost want Phil to die. I would never really say that.
Thank you very much for that.
You know, if you keep on butting in, I can't get out what it is I want to say.
When you're talking about me dying?
Am I allowed to have my opinion?
Yes, you are, but when you tell my audience, that you don't care whether I die or not.
I said there are days.
Mr. Hall.
Now I
Mr.
hear the
Hall.
Music.
Mr. Hall,
yes,
you don't have an audience. Phil Henry has an audience.
I got you as an audience right now, and you're hearing me.
Because of Phil.
And you're... Well, that's bull crap.
I got to take a break.
Take the break and get rid of this guy.
No, I'm not going to get rid of him. I will thank him very much for calling. Charles, thank you for calling. Sure, I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL.
Did he say you're welcome?
No.
There, that's exactly what I'm saying. Once he was done with his call, he doesn't care whether you sit there or you spontaneously combust.
Phil. 877-8... No.
877-876-PHIL. Give the number.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and welcome back as we talk with David G. Hall, who's the Vice President of Syndication for our radio show. We're talking about a rant that I did at the beginning of, actually did it the final hour of a show a couple of weeks ago. We replayed it during the opening of our video cast tonight on Phil TV and HD, and it was me sounding on the broadcasting industry. I was saying that there's more money to be made out in the internet world than there is in radio now. I said that there is more money to be made working for yourself than there is working for a company, you know, there's a lot of people that are being exploited.
You said that there's a lot of young talent in radio that's being used for more than one thing, and you were quite critical. And I had to come on here, Phil, and make a comment because I don't want you to get so far ahead of yourself that you think that what you say, you don't think that what you say is going to change anything, do you?
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You said no?
No, I don't think it will.
You don't think it will? So why are you talking about it?
Because it's, I think it's compelling.
Oh, you think it's compelling? You think it's compelling? I just got done telling you that the audience doesn't care whether you are alive or whether you are rotting someplace, and you think that what you've got to say is compelling.
I think the reason why they listen to me, however many of them that there are that listen to me, is because I may be interesting. You know.
Well, yeah, interesting's one thing, compelling something else. But talking about your work situation. But the bottom line that I'm making here, and I want everybody to listen to me, so there's no mistaking, that the audience, you know Oprah Winfrey? You want to know why Oprah, our research has found, do you know why Oprah Winfrey had as many women watching her from day in and day out? Year in and year out, do you know why that woman was successful?
I do.
No, you don't, because I know what you're going to say, because women found her interesting and informative.
That, well, yeah.
No, it's because women tuned in every day waiting for that moment when Oprah Winfrey would show such weakness that her entire life collapses before their eyes so that they could feel better than her. They would feel they're better than her.
And people watch Oprah Winfrey every day to watch her fail.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't believe it.
I don't care what you believe. This is my business. Women tuned in every night to watch Oprah Winfrey, every afternoon or whatever it was, waiting for her to completely lose it, waiting for her to vomit, waiting for her to suddenly gag and drop dead, waiting for her to say the F word a billion times and have a nervous breakdown, waiting for her to assault somebody. That's what they were waiting for.
And so even today...
I don't know about today. I'm saying during the height of her TV show. Then after a while, it became obvious Oprah Winfrey was here to stay. But the beginning of her career, women wanted to see her. I think they would have been delighted had she collapsed and died from a coronary right on camera. So, Phil, if you want to get right down to it, you're more valuable to me dead than you are alive. Because if you die on the air, that is worth ratings points. That's the reality.
What about guys like Howard Stern?
Same thing. Same thing. People listen to Howard Stern. They like him. But they're waiting for him to do something so bad, they'll never let him in. They won't let him in the door of a penny arcade. They won't let him in the door of a place that sells Mr. Microphones. They won't let them into a place that sells loudspeakers. Anywhere where you can project yourself, they're waiting for him to mess up too, just like you. But please don't tell me my business, because I know my business. And my business is making sure that these people out here, you know, listen, but they got to be honest. And honesty is, don't tell me you like Phil Hendry, because I know you don't care whether Phil Hendry sits down behind a microphone at night or a baboon. Doesn't matter to you, as long as it's something they can listen to.
A baboon, huh?
That's right. Because if the baboon's good, you think they want you back? Get a call up. Hey.
Yeah, yes.
Get a phone call.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now let's go to a phone call. Here we have Paul. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Hall.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't know who hired that guy to be your boss, but they need to check in. They need to check up from the neck up like that guy does.
Hey, does anybody ever call you Froggy?
No.
They don't?
I tell you, man, you're a sincere need
of magic. Why am I in need of magic? I don't understand.
You need some very strong medication, because you're not right between the ears. Your brain's not functioning.
I'm telling him, well, sir, I know my business, and I'm telling you the way audiences are, whether it's TV or radio, as long as they're entertained, they don't care whether the guy they were listening to last night still has mobility or it has been decapitated by an airplane propeller.
Why do the same people keep tuning in to the same radio personalities night after night after night if their natural born abilities?
Because the guy's providing something they need. But what I'm saying is, if he died and I put a baboon in there that sounded just as good, you tune into the monkey.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like I said,
you would.
Medication.
Are you trying to tell me, sir, that you would not listen to a good radio show? If it was being conducted by a monkey, by an alien, by Phil Hendry, what do you care?
Sure, I would listen to any radio station.
There you go.
But that don't mean that I wouldn't care if Phil, or anybody else for that matter, maybe outside of you, was found it somewhere.
Well, there you go. See, now I've got you. Now you're speaking some truth, because you're feeling kind of bad that you said
no.
What you said. So you're saying, oh, well, but I really care about Phil. Yeah, sure.
No, I
can I say something here?
No, you can't. As long as they act like they got a little sense, but you talk like I don't know.
I'm
like
just saying, I gotta do what's good for. What's that? I gotta do what's good for business. You know.
Nope.
And
yeah, right. You deal in BS. Hey, you know why that is? Because you're full of it.
You're saying I'm full of BS when I say...
You're
what if I hired you? I'll tell you something right now. You're going to tell me I'm full of BS. I would hire you to do a show. I would call it the Froggy Frogerson Show.
Okay.
Now he's making fun of you, sir.
No, I am not making fun of him. I would like you, Phil, not to speak for me. I am not making fun of him. He is very, you're very opinionated. You've got a very compelling voice. You do. And I'm sure you've been told that. I would put you on the air for a couple hours a day doing opinions, do whatever you want to talk about.
Why would you call it the Froggy?
It wouldn't work.
Why would you call it the...
Why not? Why not?
Because I wouldn't hold my tongue back the way Phil has.
It would be fantastic. It would be great. I'd love that. I would put you on and I'd say, go ahead, say anything you want. I would have the dump button.
Oh, that's great. Tell him to say anything he wants. And
am I talking to you?
I just wanted to mention it.
I'm not even talking to this guy and he's butting in.
It's my radio show.
I would ask you to shut up, Phil. Now listen, sir, I don't know what you said your name. Phil said your name is Paul, right?
Right.
All right. You got a very compelling voice. You remind me of a Marine drill instructor that I had. I swear, you're not in the Marines, are you?
No.
Okay. There was a Marine drill instructor. There was a Marine drill instructor that I had that sounded exactly like you. I would put you on the air. I'd give you a couple of. I'd put you on a Phil slot. What do you think of that? Would you turn the job down?
Yes, I would. I'd go after him or before him. But
you wouldn't get. No, if I said the only slot I got is Phil's slot, Froggy. And
Froggy, see, you see the respect he has for you?
I'm telling you to shut up, Phil.
Well, I could call him names, too, but it's not fit for the air. But, like I said,
I would put you on the Phil Henry slot. I'd call it the Froggy Frogerson, you know, just for laughs.
Yeah, right. Well,
and you take the job. You would take the job. Anybody that's ever heard you probably...
We could call
anybody
you.
That's ever heard you probably ask you what... What's the number of your lily pad? So they can give you a call.
Oh, isn't that funny?
We could come and get you in a butterfly.
Yeah. That's right.
Guys in white coats and a butterfly.
That's right.
One.
Yeah. So they'll come to your lily pad, sir, but then they'll go with the same butterfly net and get David.
Again, has anybody been asking you your opinion at all?
No, nobody has.
Every time I said it.
I got to take a break here.
Yeah, take the break. Yeah. Thanks very much, Paul.
Hey, Phil.
It's good talking. Hey, Paul. No, you're talking to me, Paul. And
he's yes, sir.
Stay alive, Phil.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good one.
But the minute, hey, I tell you what, Froggy, the minute I offer you a radio show, Phil Henry will be just another gnat on your windshield. How about that?
I don't appreciate being told to shut up.
Oh, well, excuse me. I didn't know that I offended your delicate feelings. I apologize.
I don't like the sarcasm, and I don't like being told to shut up on the air when I'm talking to my listeners.
You weren't talking to them. I was.
I'm directing the show.
You're still riding that horse, aren't you?
What horse?
You're still riding that horse, man. Still, you just want to flog that nag to the bitter end. That whole "they really care about me" horse. I'm telling you that this audience, if tomorrow you had a heart attack in a parking garage somewhere, say about the third level down, and no one found your body for a couple of days, they couldn't care less. You thank me. I'm the guy telling you the truth. Froggy Frogerson won't tell you the truth. I get that guy on the ear, though. I tell you what, he'd take your slot in a minute for the right money.
I wouldn't blame him.
Oh, yeah, right.
I wouldn't blame him at all. If you offered him enough money where he... Yeah, I wouldn't blame him for taking my... I would just like to tell you, Frog, I mean, Paul, there would be no hard feelings there, man, at all.
Oh, listen to you being magnanimous. Listen, pal, what should I call you, Froggy Senior? Go to a break.
You know...
Go to a break!
We'll take a break now. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is... 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with David G. Hall and more of your phone calls.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back tonight. We have David G. Hall with us, our Vice President of Syndication. This was really just it was really the beginning of me talking, David. It was a rant that I played, you know.
Yeah, you played that rant, and you got me very concerned.
Well, the rant was me. I'd be happy to play it again.
No, don't play it again. Why would you play it again? You could say it again if you want. It was essentially devaluing the entire broadcasting industry, saying that everybody in the broadcasting industry was out to exploit and manipulate, and otherwise, you know, Phil, if we were in another business, if you and I were raised differently and we weren't broadcasters, we were standing around on a street corner smoking cigarettes and thinking about what liquor store we could knock over, I'd swear to God, you were talking about the broadcasting industry turning out its talent. And
I didn't say any, and for people that don't know what turning out means...
They know what it means.
No, they don't. It's what a pimp does with a whore, if you'll pardon the language. It's what a pimp does with a girl. Turns her into one.
Well, now, you really... Boy, I'll tell you, you don't care who you anger. You're
the guy that made the comparison, man. I didn't say anything about it.
You're talking about the broadcasting industry like it's a pimp with the pig...
No, I did not. That's unbelievable that you would even come to that conclusion. I never even made that. I simply said that, like a lot of industries, They don't value their talent.
Yeah, that was it. I heard what you said. They hate their talent. I heard that. I'll never forget that.
Oh, good. I hope you don't.
I will never forget that.
I hope you don't.
And I'll say it again, Phil. Well, you talking about the broadcasting industry wearing peg pants, a big white fedora, a big long chain, basically a zoot suit, and talent, they all look like one of the Andrews sisters, okay? You know where I'm going, right?
Yes, I know where you're going. Why don't you spit it out?
What?
A peg leg, a big long chain, a fedora, a zoot suit.
What seems to be your problem?
The problem, David, is that you're using comparisons that I don't think work. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead, please.
Dave, I just want to let you know that you sound exactly like an executive, cold, callous, and cold. Well, cold, callous.
What's that been?
Crude.
A cold cow?
I'm not a regular.
I didn't understand.
I don't normally listen to Phil. But,
what is your? What did you just say? I didn't understand what you said, miss.
I said that he is cold, callous, and crude. And
three C's. The three C's.
I actually care what Phil got to say. So,
you don't have to say
Oprah,
that. You know and I know that you don't.
I like to hear what people's opinions, you know. The comment you made
right.
about Oprah... how does it explain why people tuned into her last episode if all they wanted to see was her breakdown? And
they wanted to see her. They wanted to see. It was their last chance to see her completely come apart at the seams and go, I don't want to put it this way. I don't want to see her do that, but I think people tuned in to see the woman lose her mind, come unhinged.
You think?
No, research shows.
Well, I don't know what
look,
you're talking about. I don't know what research
were you a,
talking about. But I know that
you
if you ever
of,
offered
you're
me
a fan
a
of
job,
Oprah Winfrey's, right?
I just know that if you ever offered me a job, there would be no way in hell that I'd take it because I see the way you treat your current employees. So
you're threatening his life.
Yes, you are. You're constantly I've been listening to this radio. You know, the broadcast,
yes.
Since it started,
yes.
Since you came on, you've been constantly
yes.
talking about nobody cares if you die, if someone puts you inside, puts you inside a lake.
I'm not threatening him. I'm just saying that no one cares whether Phil
had a heart attack and no one found him.
Right.
It sounds like
right.
threats to me.
I can't make him have a heart attack, miss. That's not a threat. That's just simply saying the reality.
Actually, there are ways you can make people have heart attacks, so.
Don't tell me, because that means you've been thinking about it. And I would have to say
well,
that.
Well, I haven't. But I know that if Phil ends up dying anytime soon, that we can record, there's going to be records of this show.
Well, let's just say this. You know that you don't care. You know that you, Elizabeth, don't care whether Phil lives or slowly rots. True?
Excellent. Well, if it comes by the hands of, some plot, I actually do, so. But natural
by
death?
By the hands of a what? Yeah, you don't care whether he dies or not.
If it comes by some plot to kill his life,
to kill his life.
I have a problem. Yes. To kill his life.
And suppose it was just a good old-fashioned stroke in the middle of a street as he was crossing the street.
It's natural death. That's what's going to happen to us all.
You don't care, right?
If it's natural death, I don't have a problem with it. But someone making a plot against
his
life.
At least you're honest. At least you were honest enough, Elizabeth, to say you don't care if Phil collapses in a street from a stroke with a trolley car coming at him.
Oh, would you come on? She didn't say that.
Yes, she did. She said
it's a natural death. I don't have a problem with that. We're all
right. That's what it is. Right. So if he collapsed from a stroke in the middle of a street in San Francisco with a cable car coming at him, it's fine with you.
If he collapsed
correct.
From a stroke, then that's a natural death.
Exactly. And if he was accidentally run over by a cable car after he...
Why do you throw that in?
I want to know exactly if Elizabeth's telling me the truth.
It doesn't make any difference, Elizabeth. If I collapse from a stroke and then a cable car hits me afterwards, whatever. What do you mean cable car?
if you were in San Francisco.
Okay, yeah, if I was in San Francisco and I had a stroke crossing the street where a cable car track is and it ran me over, I guess that's really a drag, but I'm dead anyway, so what?
So you don't even care whether you live or die. And that's the point I was trying to make to Elizabeth. It's one thing for the audience not to hear. Phil doesn't care whether he lives or whether he dies. And
yes, I most certainly do, Elizabeth. I do.
I didn't get anything by that. I didn't pick that up.
Right, neither did I. I didn't pick up anything.
I'm picking it up. I've got a better receiver.
If he lives or dies.
Yeah. Phil doesn't care if he lives or dies, and you don't care if he lives or dies, so we're all agreed.
Explain to me how Phil doesn't care if he lives and dies. How you got that?
Because he just got done saying, it's okay, Elizabeth, if I died of a stroke in San Francisco in the middle of a cable car track and the cable car ran me over, it'd be okay. Wow. That's some guts.
Oh,
what
boy.
What I heard him say is he doesn't care if the cable car hits him after he's dead.
Right.
That's what I heard.
Exactly. Right.
I didn't hear that he didn't care if he died. I heard that if he's dead.
No,
already,
what I heard was...
Well, all right, thank you very much.
When the cable car hits him. He had a problem, yeah, but you didn't hear him say, when the cable car hits him, right, he doesn't care.
I heard him say that if he's dead already from the stroke and a cable car hits him, he doesn't care. I didn't hear that he said...
Phil Hendry.
Right.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome tonight here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're back. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we go anywhere, and I mean anywhere, places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, to bring you the very finest in talk radio entertainment and all that other jazz. You know, all the politico talk and stuff that you like. Well, we can do that stuff standing on our heads. But we also, as I say, make that little extra effort to entertain, inform, inflame. Stop me before I...
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Why do I say that? Because if you had a BSP, a backstage pass, you could watch the show right now on a videocast. We have a videocast going... At all hours, well, not all hours, we have a videocast going from about 9:15 Pacific, that would be 12:15 Eastern, all the way until the end of our broadcast at 1 on the West Coast, 4 on the East Coast. We have a great many people that join us for these broadcasts, these webcasts, many of them in the radio business, many of them very high up executives in the radio business, motion pictures, television, healthcare, politics. In fact, Rick Santorum is watching us right now. I don't know, but that would be cool, wouldn't it?
No. Oh.
All right, anyway, our number, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. General Galen Shaw with us this evening to talk about truckers and the safety of our truck drivers and trucks out on the highways this particular year. We're also going to be looking at Mike Huckabee going after a brand new radio job. We'll find out whether that is a smart move or not. Most likely it isn't. And we're also going to take a look at a national poll that tells us 61% of the American people believe that Barack Obama is not a Christian. 61%, well over half of the American people do not believe the president when he says he's a Christian. So General Galen Shaw joining us. I know you're a Obama supporter. What do you think of that?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, I don't think it doesn't surprise me, given the conservative rhetoric around the president, doesn't surprise me at all. I think it's a very tragic result of misinformation about President Barack Obama. He said many times he's a Christian, and why they don't believe him, I think, is the effectiveness, I would say, of the conservative side of the media.
So tell me about the proposals when it comes to the safety of our trucks on the road that you're talking about.
Well, I'm not, first of all, not anti-trucker, Phil. I used to be a truck driver as a young man before I went into the military. I'm very much in favor of our truckers. I support them, both the union drivers, the independent drivers, and so on. I think they have one heck of a tough job, and I'd like to make it easier for them by this sabbatical that would be enforced by companies for 1 month out of the year, where they are reevaluated. Certainly, drug testing is the proper psychological counseling. Just 1 month out of the year, taking them off the roads allows them to, I think, shake down much of the effects of being out there among the drivers of America.
Well, now, the reason why you're proposing this, General, is that truck drivers, as you said, are out there among the drivers of America and are faced with bad driving, but we all are.
Yes, that is true, Phil. We are all faced with that bad driving, but a trucker has a formidable vehicle that he is in control of, and that is the 18-wheeler, the tractor-trailer. It is a big vehicle. And a truck driver that loses control of his patience or loses his temper or simply no longer has a grasp on reality, I suppose, can do a lot of damage with a truck like that. And I have to tell you, I'm a little bit torn because there's a part of me that wants to say, well, you know what, I don't even blame the guy. It's really very difficult out there to drive a vehicle the size of the modern rig, that is the tractor trailer that these guys are driving and that they are hauling the freight with. It's very difficult to do your job and not react emotionally to much of what you see.
We're talking to General Galen Shaw, retired General Galen Shaw, on the lives, the professional lives of truck drivers. And this sabbatical would be enforced, you say, 1 month out of the year. It would have to be a federal law.
That is exactly correct. Now, you know that the highways, the Interstate Commerce Commission, are regulated by the federal government. Truck traffic, truck freight is regulated by the federal government. So this would not be, I don't think it would be a great leap for the federal government to working through the unions and also by way of enforcing a federal law to make sure the truck drivers are sat down for 4 weeks out of the year so that they do not approach that critical mass level where they could do harm to themselves and perhaps harm to other people.
Do you have any statistics that you can cite telling us about how well or how poorly truck drivers really, you know, it's a very interesting I think it's a very interesting proposition given the fact that we analyze how airline pilots do.
Well, let me just interrupt you there and tell you, Phil, I probably have the very best statistic that I could present to you, and that is my own experience as a truck driver when I was driving. And I'm 70 years of age, so we're going back a good 50 years when I started driving trucks just before I decided to make the military a career. And there was not, I don't think, a week out of a month where I wasn't feeling the stress in the traffic and in the general, just the overall pressure of delivering the bill of lading that you had, delivering the load that you had to where it had to be. And there were many times when just to let the pressure off, you think about what you want to do with that truck. Now, I can tell you, not too long ago in the city of Los Angeles, a truck driver just decided he had had enough and he began using his truck as a battering ram.
Right, I was talking with Dan about that earlier.
Right, and he injured a number of people. It wasn't ever that bad with me. But what happened with me is what happens with most truckers. I would think about what I wanted to do.
Such as?
Well, I can tell you, I used to drive by an oil farm, a big tank farm, not too far from downtown Los Angeles. And it was in Signal Hill, California. And I would, many days when the traffic was too much and I was feeling too much pressure, I would think about pushing one of these cars at a high speed off into this oil farm.
And causing a fire?
And yes, I never did it because I obviously had control over myself. But I would think what happens if there's someone who is driving a truck and loses control of his own emotions and his temper and decides to push someone at a high speed into an oil farm, into a tank farm, and you watch these tanks go up, they're highly flammable.
You fantasized about, so in other words, you fantasized about doing damage to other cars.
Yeah, but in much the manner that man did, that you were talking to Dan about.
So you wanted to run somebody off the road.
I think that's the most common fantasy of any trucker that you would talk to, is they want the desire to run off the road in some way, a vehicle, that may be causing you no problem at all. But you had the culmination of someone that you saw 50 miles ago or 200 miles ago, and that guy is still on your mind, and you're still thinking about him. And now it doesn't matter who it is. It could be a female with two. In fact, that was, in my case, who I wanted to run off the road one day, a woman with two children, and it had nothing to do with why I was angry.
Well, now, this is a really important question I'm going to ask you.
Yes, sir.
You want to be, so based upon your experience as a truck driver, where you at times wanted to run people off of the road.
Yes, sir.
You feel that all truckers need an enforced sabbatical of 1 month, psychological evaluation, drug testing, etc.
That is correct. And when you say, Phil, based upon my experience, please understand that is significant experience.
But it's not. It's there's no real larger scientific study.
Well, I don't think there. I can guarantee you. I guarantee you. Though I have not looked for one, I guarantee that there's a scientific study out there somewhere that says truck drivers are that close to running a car off a road into a tank farm, and it could very well be a woman with children. Now, that was the case with me. I didn't do it, but I hope and pray the day does not come when we see this happen. And that's why I say the enforced sabbatical of a month.
What made you think about this?
Well, it was the Steven Spielberg movie Duel that was on TV recently, and it is a film. I don't know if you know it, Phil.
I do know the movie, yeah. It's a great movie.
It's a very effective film that shows a truck driver harassing and chasing a man over an expanse of miles on a California back road. This man did something to anger this truck driver, and he chases this man until the end of the film, where the man in the car gets the better of the truck driver, but the fact is, in the film, the truck driver drove through a phone booth. He drove through various, different structures and so forth to try to kill this man.
We're talking here with retired General Galen Shaw about his idea to enforce a sabbatical of 1 month for every truck driver in America so that they're drug tested, psychologically evaluated, that they're sat down for a month so that they kind of get them out of the rat race.
That is correct, yes.
And, of course, the first thing that a truck driver is going to ask is, what about the lost revenue?
Well, I think that what you can, if you're good, and I was good, I was damn good, you can make it up on the other end, what we call in truck driving, making it up on the flip-flop.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is, if you lose a month of income, you're just going to have to go out and hump it and make up for it the other 11 months.
So there's no reimbursement on any level?
No, we can't fool around with that. What we're trying to do, I didn't want this to become an expensive proposition. What I'm trying to do is make sure, after seeing this film, Duel, I want to make sure that we don't have truckers out there that want to take their rig and turn it into a one-man tornado, if you will, driving it through cars and...
All right, hold on, General.
Yeah, but, driving it through the phone booth.
Right, hold on. 877-876-7445, General Galen Shaw, on the need for truck drivers to take an enforced sabbatical of 1 month a year so that they are calmed down, rested, psychologically evaluated, drug tested, and they don't turn into dangerous individuals out on the highways of America driving these very large vehicles that can do a lot of damage. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it is world famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome back. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have retired General Galen Shaw from the United States military, U.S. Army, talking about his idea, and it is one that is endorsed by others. I would have to ask you, General, just exactly who is endorsing the idea of an enforced sabbatical of truck drivers so that they don't, as you said, go off the deep end?
Well, Phil, a number of individuals that I'm not at this particular time at liberty to mention, but they are people very high up in the Congress, the United States Congress. But I had told them that part of my reasoning for this was this shooting in Afghanistan by this soldier who had gone off on his own and taken a variety of weapons into this village. And I know you talked about it last night.
Yes, we did.
And this just so happened as I was discussing this with the aide to one of the senators that we're hoping to enlist, saying, well, this is very similar, if you will, to my idea, which is to take the truckers off the road.
Well, that's a heck of a comparison, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying that our truckers are...
That's a heck of a comparison to say that a trucker is like a soldier in Afghanistan.
Well, Phil, no, I'm not saying that, but I will tell you that I think the pressures are similar insofar as truckers and soldiers are racing to get a job done. They're in an environment that's explosive. They're in an environment that where there's a lot of pressure, and they can do a lot of damage if there are people trying to keep them from doing what they want to do and what they need to do.
And well, the soldier in Afghanistan, clearly there's something wrong with that guy. He wasn't going off into that village in Afghanistan to kill people because these people were keeping him from doing his job, which was to kill the enemy. This is a man with something wrong.
Well, Bill, I would wait till they... I would like to wait until the jury is in on that. Yes, there's something wrong, but you're not a soldier.
No, sir, I'm not a soldier, but I... Let me say this. You know, Bob Dylan's old line, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. You know?
Well, that is true, yes.
All right, so I'm just, maybe a novice opinion, but I'm an American citizen. I have to make these decisions because I'm a voter and I'm an individual who ultimately decides on what our military needs, and that guy looks like he's got something wrong with him.
Well, I think it's true equally, Phil, that if a truck driver who has been under inordinate pressure to deliver a load on time, who has been under inordinate pressure to get this load delivered, even though you have this hellacious traffic that you're dealing with, and these the drivers that you have on the road these days, you know, can't be all that smart, and you have all of that, and you finally make the decision, well, I don't really see much of what else I can do. I'm going to have to run somebody off of this road, and in my case, as I mentioned to you, I'm going to run someone off a road into an oil tank farm. And that was a very scary thought.
Do you feel that you've been taken off of the road and given a psychological evaluation?
Well, in my case, I don't think I needed that because I caught him. I caught myself.
But it's still a dangerous thought.
Yes, it's a danger, but I caught myself. So I didn't know. I didn't need the sabbatical that other truck drivers, I think, would.
All right, 877-876-7445. Here's Austin on the Phil Hendry Shows. We're talking here with General Galen Shaw and his idea of an enforced one-month sabbatical for truckers. Here's Austin. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm a truck driver. I've been driving for 27 years, and I have worked for companies. I've had my own rig. Right now, I've a partnership with another individual who owns the equipment. I do most of the driving. And I do transcontinental driving. I do I do local. I do it all. And I want to know whether this man is serious when he says that I'm supposed to, for 1 month out of the year, forego income because I'm what? Because I'm
well, I'm saying you forego the income because of the sabbatical.
When you say a sabbatical, I don't understand what that is.
Yeah. Well, you take a month off.
No, I know what that is, but I don't know what. I don't understand why I have to take a so-called sabbatical when there's nothing wrong with me. I've never done anything to endanger anybody's life.
Well, that's what you say now, sir. But I can assure you, based upon my own experience, and I only drove for a couple of years, and I had thoughts of very murderous thoughts.
That's your problem, you see. And it's good that you're not driving. And
well, are you telling me that you don't have you don't want to run someone off a road?
I get angry. I get irritated at people, but I've never had the feeling that I wanted to run somebody off the road.
Well, then it's just a matter of time. And
if it's just a matter of time, I've been driving for 28 years. And I've never had that feeling.
All right, but so in other words, if I could say something here, General, even if a driver has never had these instincts, he still needs the sabbatical.
Well, I think that he does, because even if, for instance, you've never had polio, or even if you've never had the flu or pneumonia, you still should get inoculated. And I think it's an inoculation against the possibility that this man, however good a man he may be, might take his truck and he might end you or me or anyone he chooses on a bad day.
I'm telling you, I've never done that.
All right, hold on. I've got to take a break. I appreciate your call, Austin. Hold on, General Shaw. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we continue talking about the enforced sabbatical for truckers. Take them off the road for a month out of every year for psychological evaluation, drug testing, and rest. 877-876-7445. We're back here with General Galen Shaw. So we're talking with General Galen Shaw, a retired military of the United States Army, about a law that he wants to see passed, a federal law that truckers are taken off the road for a sabbatical once a year to make sure that they're okay psychologically and so forth. Not that we've had any reason to.
Well, Phil, not that we've had any reason to. I, for one, am tired of having to. I'm tired of going to funerals. I'm tired of seeing the crying of families as people are laid to rest as the result of some violence that we could have prevented. So I'm saying let's put these truckers off the road for a month. And
what about the idea that this may actually impugn the truck driving profession? Oh, we better take these guys off the road for a month because they may kill somebody.
Look, I'm not saying that they'll kill anybody. In my case, I fantasized about it. And in my case, I was strong enough not to give in to the fantasy. But how many of these truckers are? That's my point.
877-876-7445 is the number. Let's take a phone call here. We got Dwayne. Dwayne, you're on the Phil Henry Show. We got General Galen Shaw on the line as well. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing today, Fred?
Fine.
Hey, General, how you doing?
I can't hear the caller, so you're going to have to either turn that guy up or I got to move on to another call.
Yeah, I'm calling you. I'm cutting through your Bluetooth on the phone. Hopefully you can hear me.
No, I can hear you, but it's at my studio that I need to get these calls up. So what do you got, man? What would you like to talk about?
I just want to talk about the general.
This guy's call is bad news.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I don't agree with what the general is saying. I'm trying to figure out, if I've been driving 15 years, I don't know how long the general said he was driving, but that's what he...
I drove a truck for 2 years before I went into the military.
Okay, General. Now you're comparing 2 years of what you of driving compared to the guy who just called that was driving for almost 30 years. I got 15 years experience on this road, and I have yet to even think about running somebody off the road.
Well, I think that, you know, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt and believe you. I know that you've been irritated in traffic. I know that drivers have irritated you. This is only normal. And you may not be, but what happens when the one driver that we do find runs someone off into a tank, an oil tanker or something, and then what? So why not prevent it from happening now?
See, in other words, this guy hasn't thought about it. The 30-year driver hadn't thought about it. You only drove for 2 years, and you did think about it. How do you know that you're not the aberration?
Because I spent a long time in the U.S. military, and I didn't go into a village as much as I might have wanted to do that, and machine gun innocent civilians.
I don't understand the comparison.
I don't understand that comparison either. You know, I'm trying to... Another thing, Joe, if I take a month of sabbatical off, who's going to take care of my family? And then on top of that, who's going to pay for the psychological evaluations?
Well, that's taken care of by the companies involved, you see. So that's nothing that you have to pay for. The company pays for that. As far as your family is concerned, I would hope that the companies, just like jury duty, keep you on the payroll and allow you at least draw an advance against your future earning, depending upon what kind of an agreement you have with the company you're driving for. And as far as the cost of this, it would be assumed. What we're trying to do is prevent what happened in Afghanistan from happening on the highways of America.
Wait a minute. That's the second time you've compared the Afghanistan thing to America.
Yeah.
The guy in Afghanistan was a soldier.
Well, I understand that, Bill, but it's the same psychological trigger.
I disagree.
And you disagree, sir?
Let me say this. I'm self-employed. Now, I don't work for a company. I run loans through brokers. Now, all I'm simply saying is, if you're suggesting to do this, if all the owner-operators of America have to go through this, who's going to pay for this?
Well, that's a simple enough. I think that's a simple enough equation. You can take out insurance of some kind. If you own your own company, then obviously you have capital funds available to make up for that 1 month that you're not working.
All right.
Well, then I don't think you're running a very good company, sir.
All right. That's not for you to decide.
Well, if he doesn't have any money, I'm trying to keep him from doing. Well, you don't want me to say it.
No, I don't want you to bring up Afghanistan because it doesn't have anything to do with it. Dwayne, thank you for your call, 877-876-7445. You've said now twice you're trying to keep from happening on the roads of America what happened in Afghanistan.
Yes, well, because of my military background and my background as a truck driver, I see a connection between a trucker who is under too much pressure and decides that he needs to pull the trigger, figuratively, and get someone, anyone, run off the road, and that soldier in Afghanistan who decided that he needed some payback for whatever reason. I'm not saying he's right, and I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the death penalty, but we've got to keep these things from happening, and so we need to get that soldier into psychological counseling, and we need to take our truck drivers and sit them down for a month and slap some sense into them.
Even though we don't have really any evidence that there's anything wrong with the truck drivers.
Well, you can wait for that problem to happen.
Well, but we don't. 877-876-7445. Where are we at here? Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, sir. Thank you for
your
service to the country, by the way, before I get started.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Okay, the thing I think about is, just like the guy previous, he said, hey, who's going to take care of the family when I'm off for a month? You know, if everybody's not independently wealthy and don't have plenty of money, then they can't afford to be off. And then if they are, when they go back to work, they're going to be more stressed, worried about all the finances that they're behind on and they can't pay anything. And as far as comparing the military to driving a truck, well, you could tie that into anything, even being married to someone. So what do you want to do, take the husband away from the wife for a month so they won't be stressed out?
Well, I can't comment on that. If that's something that you feel you need, why, certainly I would consult with a professional about that.
No,
I'm talking about
my point
the driving
is,
of a truck.
My point is,
I
if you
a soldier
a truck
and
driver,
a,
if you
yes,
compare
sir.
A truck driver to a soldier, then you could compare a truck driver to a married man, a man that works in a steel mill, a man that works anywhere, because everybody has the same kind of stress. It may not be in the road.
Not everyone has the ability with the tools of their trade to create the kind of mayhem that a truck driver, when I was driving, Robert, I would think of the things I could do with a truck. And it would only take a small imagination, not certainly the imagination that I had, which was very big, to imagine a truck running roughshod through an oil tank farm. And,
you're bringing up this oil tank farm.
Yes, but I'm saying you could create the kind of smoke and fire and devastation that you would only imagine in an atomic bomb attack.
Okay, I got
that's
another
what
one.
That's what I would think about.
You would think about that.
Yes.
Well, what if a guy was working in a chemical plant that was dealing with toxic gas all day long and a million gallons of fumes, and all he's got to do is open up a valve?
That's different. You were saying a married man. What's he going to do? Throw his underwear at someone? And then you said you said a steel steel worker. Well, what's he going to do? Beat you up with crowbar with rebar?
Point being that in any job is potentially dangerous, and the stress that is associated with that job.
Yes, but with a truck driver, he's out on the highway. With tons and tons and tons. Don't you guys get it? I'm sitting here trying to spell it out for you. Are you a truck driver, sir? I believe you said you were, correct?
Yes, I am.
You realize that if you got in a bad mood tomorrow morning and you got into that truck, you could roll over top of about five or six minivans with little tiny children in them.
No kidding.
Well, you
but
know,
I
got to tell
you. I would never think of doing that, sir. And if
you know what's interesting?
Yes. You got out of the truck driving business.
But you know what's interesting? Even while you say you would never think of doing it, you're laughing because the thought gives you some kind of joy.
No,
and that's
I'm
the psychology.
Laughing.
That's the psychology that I was talking about.
No, the reason I'm laughing, sir, is because you said that you drove for 2 years and you had those thoughts, and I've been driving for 18 years and I've never had a thought like that, and that's why because you got out of
the truck. What I'm saying is that the thought that you had, the thought of driving your truck over top of a minivan and crushing little children, made you smile inside. Now, that's what I just heard.
No, sir, that's
not
correct.
No, that's not what he said. That's
that
not what he
not
said.
Correct.
Oh, I'm sure that's not what he said, but that's what he's laughing. He's smiling still at the idea that a mini, he could roll one over. Well, you heard what I said.
Yes, yes.
Well,
but
that's not what the gentleman said.
Laughing, the reason I was laughing, though, sir, is because you said that you drove for 2 years and you thought about doing that. And
sir,
I'm glad you quit driving.
Yes, sir. When I said to you that you could drive over top of a minivan and crush everyone inside, this is what you did. You said, ha, 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 why I would, ha, ha, never think of that. And meanwhile, you're betraying your inner emotions by laughing and feeling almost a thrill. You see?
That you're not listening.
See, look what he's doing. The minute I brought up what he could do with that truck, he's been laughing and reliving it over and over in his mind.
I don't think so. I think what he's, you know.
I don't appreciate being laughed at, especially after what happened in Afghanistan, for you two guys to laugh at it.
What happened in Afghanistan and whatever it is that endangers us on the highways of America, thank you very much, sir, for your call, Robert, are two distinctly different things, in my opinion, and I'm sure in the opinion of others. Our number 877-876-7445 as we talk here with General Galen Shaw. What do you think about enforcing a sabbatical for truck drivers? That is, truckers should take a month off every year for psychological counseling, for drug testing, for just rest and relaxation, so that they're off of the highways and out of that high-pressure job, which General Shaw feels could very well lead to them, you know, running somebody off the road. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. General Galen Shaw with us, not only a long-time public servant, soldier, and warrior in the United States military, for which we will forever be grateful, General, for some 40 years, but you were a truck driver before joining the military. So you joined the military late, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Phil. I didn't join the U.S. Army until my mid-20s, but I'm not on the program to talk about the military, other than the fact that my military experience comes to bear in witnessing what truck drivers are up against and what the soldiers in Afghanistan, particularly the one that decided he would take matters into his own hands and go into that village. It was a horrible story.
It's a very, very frightening and horrible story. I don't understand you comparing that to truck drivers.
I just don't want to see a trucker suddenly lose it and do the same thing. Just decide that all of these people in cars in front of him are no longer members of the same society. They're a bunch of, excuse my language, gooks and skinnies. And
what is a skinny?
Well, a skinny is
Never mind. You're applying to the mindset of a truck driver something that I haven't heard from any of the people who have called this evening, who are in that profession. Let's go to Kay here on the Phil Hendry Show. Kay, go ahead.
Yeah,
well, I believe I have, sir.
Okay.
26 years, General. Can you listen to somebody else for 2 minutes, please?
Yes, I certainly can. If you can speak some sense.
Well, until you've sat in my seat for 26 years and watched what all people do out here, whether you are a truck driver or a six-wheeler or a four-wheeler, and see how everyone drives, don't be judging my profession. I don't judge yours as a military person, therefore you should not judge mine. We have enough rules that are governing us out here already. We do not need a sabbatical for 30 days unless somebody else is paying for it. I can't afford it, and most people I know can't afford it, and I don't know any companies that are going to go and put out that kind of money for anybody.
All right, well, let me ask you a question then. Let me just ask you one question.
Military stuff. The government pays for it, and we pay for it.
All I'm asking is, when you are driving your truck, Jackie, and you look out on those cars that are... what's your name, Kathy? Kay. I'm sorry, what's the lady's name?
Name is Kay.
I thought it was Jackie.
No, her name is Kay.
I apologize. Forgive me. When you look at those people in those cars, and in your mind, you see a bunch of gooks running for it, don't you?
I see another human being that has just as much right out here as anybody else. And they have just as much right to life as anybody else.
Why did I see that then?
I do not see them as a military threat of anything. Every human being, no matter what race you are or what country you are from, has a right to life.
I certainly agree. You understand that what I'm saying, forgive me, is it Kathy?
Her name is Kay, General.
I'm sorry. You understand that what I'm saying is, in order to keep this from happening, I'd like to sit you down for a month and give you a good talking to. And say to you, okay,
and tell me what I have to think. You are not going to sit me down for a month and tell me what I have to think and how I have to think as a military person.
But, ma'am, are you telling me that you don't... Are you saying it's a bad thing for me to say to you, I understand that, but are you saying it's bad for me to remind you not to kill someone out there?
I haven't killed anybody out here, and I've been out here 26 years. I think that should speak for itself.
I mean, why do we have to cause a problem where there isn't a problem?
Where there isn't a problem. I just got done to... I told both of you that when I was driving, I had very strong fantasies about running... families.
Yeah, that's you. And
that's why you went in the military, so you could fulfill those fantasies of killing someone.
Okay, here's another person that hates the United States military. I knew it. So you hate...
No, she doesn't hate the U.S. military. She's talking about you as an individual. Did you go into the military? General, there are a lot of aberrant ways of thinking. Excuse me, Kay, for interrupting you, but there's a lot of aberrant ways of thinking, and we must certainly identify people that think in aberrant or abnormal ways. We can save lives. We know this now about our society. We know that people can pick up a gun and go into a store. But for you to sit there and say, because you thought a certain way...
There has to be. I know for a fact that there are others just like me.
Cite... You don't. You don't. Cite me the record.
I'll bet you any amount of money that you've got.
All right, listen, you made a very good point there, Kay. I'm going to move on to another call because it's difficult hearing you and the general at the same time. Thank you very much. 877-876-7445. I'm going to move on to Hector. Hector, you're on the Phil Henry Show with General Galen Shaw.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm sitting
good,
here
sir.
In my truck, and I'm listening to what this guy is saying, and... He doesn't sound like he's all there up in the head talking about he had these little fantasies about running people off the road and killing them and stuff like that. I've been on the road 5 years now. I ain't never had no fantasy about trying to run somebody off the road and killing them and going to a psychiatrist and the drug test. I can understand the drug testing, but going to a psychiatrist, if you need to go to a psychiatrist, you shouldn't even be in the truck.
But I'm saying, sir, that if this affected me when I was very young, I was 22 years of age, somewhere in there, and it would be, the traffic would be, certainly you've endured traffic that is, you wanted to jump, have you never wanted to run screaming from the cab of that truck? Never?
No, I'm not twisted like that. I can sit back and deal with the traffic. Yeah, people cut you off and, you know, stuff like that, but I don't want to run them off the road and kill them. Going to go see a psychiatrist, you know, first of all, like that woman said just a second ago, the companies are not going to pay for that.
There should be a problem there. There should be a problem with somebody before you send him. Hang on the line here, General Galen Shaw, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Do our truckers need psychiatric evaluation before they go crazy and kill somebody? The Phil Henry Show.
Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have General Galen Shaw with us and your phone calls as we discuss proposals to, in my opinion, General, to limit truck drivers to make their job even tougher. Right now, we have increased fuel taxes on truck drivers. We have road usage taxes on truck drivers. There's certain limits as to how much they can carry. And now you want to enforce a one-month sabbatical on truckers so that they are off the road in case they need rest and relaxation because you think that they're mentally not fit.
Well, Bill, you've mischaracterized what I've said, and I'd like the opportunity to set the record straight.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I feel that truck drivers, if there should be a road usage tax, it should be on people driving passenger cars, not on truck drivers.
And I agree.
However, see, you and I agree, but however, truck drivers need to pay the road usage tax because it will keep off the roads any one of them that may be ready to crack. That's what I'm talking about. And
Wait a minute. You know, we got some guy out there Sunday driving with his family. He doesn't pay a road usage tax, but a guy that's transferring and transporting across the country vital goods, vital freight, he's got to pay a road usage tax because he may crack?
I'm talking about, if you've been listening the last hour, I'm talking about the need for a sabbatical for truckers in case they feel the need to, in case the pressure gets to them where they find themselves thinking these dangerous thoughts. That's why we want that.
So in other words, a road usage tax is going to keep fewer drivers from driving. Well, it'll keep fewer drivers on the road.
It could act as a screen against any that are on the borderline and may use their vehicle to run a passenger car off the road. And you just gave a very good example. If I'm a truck driver and I'm resentful of the fact that I've got to pay a road usage tax while some jackball, as you say, Phil, doesn't have to pay the road usage tax, I could tell you if I was driving a truck these days, my God, I'd want to run somebody, and the temptation is greater because look at the Mini Coopers now, look at the smaller cars, and you've got truckers now with every reason in the world to run someone off the road, and the temptation's greater because there's a guy going down the road in a little box like that, and if I was driving today, there would be no choice. I would want to drive right over top of that piece of you-know-what.
All right, 877-876-7445. You didn't answer my question, though. It sounds to me like you're playing both sides of the fence here. You know?
In what way?
Do you believe that the road usage taxes are unfair for truck drivers?
I think that right now they're fair because of the possibility that these guys are going to splinter and crack. And they will splinter, then crack, and then come apart.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go down to San Diego. And Dr. Sadler, go ahead, sir. Good to hear from you tonight.
Hi, Phil. I wanted to ask this man. I'm a psychiatrist, all right?
Yes, sir.
And if I'm driving in my car and my job has just been to analyze a truck driver who has been told he must go to a psychiatrist in order for him to be analyzed, right, according to your new law?
Yes, sir.
And I'm driving home from having given that man the benefit of my professional understanding, and he has decided that, or another truck driver has decided to see me because you mentioned a Mini Cooper. I drive one.
All right.
So that's a temptation in your mind for a truck driver to want to drive over top of me and run me into an oil tanker, is I think what you said.
Well, no. I said if you were in a Mini Cooper, my temptation was to crush the life out of you. Now, you said,
even though I've just helped you with your mind.
I don't think it's very likely that I would leave your office and then see you in your Mini Cooper out on the freeway and want to crush you. Is that what you're saying?
Not you.
It could be anybody.
Yes, it could be anybody.
It could be anybody, any truck driver.
Yes.
I would say, sir, that you would be a casualty. In my line of work, that's called collateral damage. As much as we may appreciate what you do in the psychological field, you would be crushed and turned into just a flat, you'd be a nothing but a flattened out guy.
All right. So,
as a psychologist, Dr. Sadler, as a psychologist, is there in your experience some threat, some mechanism that could go haywire with truck drivers the same way with soldiers?
Well, I think we find that in soldiers, truck drivers, there are professions that have an inordinate amount of stress.
Why don't you get to the point?
And excuse me, but I'm trying. Excuse me.
Let the doctor finish.
Well, he's going. He's all mush mouth. He's going. Blah, 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 blah. The point that I'm making.
Excuse me, sir, but I was polite with you, and I'd appreciate it.
Go ahead.
Well, never mind.
Yeah, see, he hung up, Mr. Henry, because he knows he's got no point. He knows he's got no point.
Oh, I haven't hung up. I put the phone down to calm down.
Oh, so that's interesting. So, in other words, rather than lose your temper, you put the phone down.
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You put the phone down or you give them a sabbatical.
Yes, but you lied. There's something about you that I don't like.
Well, there's a lot about you that I don't like. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you sound. You don't? I would not have you in my army.
Because I sound like a fruit.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm a bodybuilder, and I'm married to a woman who's very beautiful.
I don't believe it. I'll never believe it. You'll never get me to believe it.
And right. Now I'm going to hang up, and I hope you die from an explosion.
What an idiot. Of course I'm going to do. Well, I'm not going to die from an explosion now.
All right. Thank you, General. I got to take a break here. That was the most ridiculous exchange I've ever heard in my life. And we'll be right back here with General Galen Shaw, 877-876-7445. Unreal.
True.
Is it possible?
Is our bitch, the Phil Hendry Show.
We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Everything that I've done in my life and career.
I understand that, General, and I appreciate that. I don't think anybody is trying to say that you haven't been patriotic. Your ideas, and we're back here live on the Phil Hendry Show with General Galen Shaw, your idea to have truck drivers take enforced psychiatric exams, to stay off the road for a month, to have a rest and relaxation, drug tests, and so on and so forth, are based exclusively on your own experiences. Your thoughts of running people off the road, your ideas that, the people around you, you said looked like, quote, running gooks?
That was based on, that never happened to me. I'm saying, based upon my truck driving experience, I can see how being a truck driver, now that I've had my military experience, how being a truck driver is like being in the bush. It's like being out on patrol, and you're wondering when it's going to end. Every day, you're out in that truck.
Well, I haven't heard one comment from any driver calling this program who would echo any of those sentiments. 877-876-7445. Here is Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Fine.
My main question is, how can you compare somebody shooting at you from inside of tree lines, off of roofs, to driving a truck? Those are completely different stress points.
Well, but they are stress points, nonetheless. And while, of course, for instance, would you say flying a jet aircraft in wartime is that stressful? Yes, it is. But it's different from being a foot soldier. It's different from being a sailor on a ship in wartime. But at the same time, they're both. And so if you're a truck driver and all you see around you are ragheads, you see?
I don't see ragheads. What is a raghead, sir?
Well, now, you just laughed. So the idea of treating other drivers as if they're the enemy gives you joy.
Who's
no,
the enemy,
no.
They got drivers out on the road. Other drivers.
No, they're not my enemies.
Well, they're not your enemy. All right, look, I'm going to give you an example. Your name is Joe. All right, Joe, you're driving downhill in an 18-wheeler. You've thrown that thing into low. You're doing all you can to stop the momentum of that truck from exceeding a particular speed going down the hill. Now, all of a sudden, darting in front of you is a car because he wants to get off at the next exit. And he darts in front of you, giving maybe, what, a car length between the two of you, if that. You don't want to gun it and drive right over top of him. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I don't.
Oh.
See, well, first of all, that would jeopardize my life, along with
yes.
their lives.
And are you angry at them? Are you angry at them? Are you angry at them?
My family's food coming in. So, no, I don't want to do that.
Are you angry at them?
No.
Oh, well, that's not true, because I've seen truckers get really angry at somebody darting in front of them, and I've asked them, how did it feel? And they said, I'll tell you what, I wanted to do something bad.
What good would it do me to
Well, okay, good point, sir, all of it. This man that we're talking to right now, this Joe, it sounds like the sanest guy I've talked to tonight. Why do you keep wanting to attribute to that man crazy thoughts?
Well, because I think he's keeping a lid on them. I can hear him, you know, he has that tone of voice that I've seen in the bush. I've seen it out in battle where they just, oh, I'm fine, everything's good. Hell, you are fine or good. I can tell by the look on that guy's face, he's crazier than a crap house rat.
877-876-7445. Let's go to another phone call here. We have LaMario on the line. LaMario, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with General Shaw. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm so pleased and thankful for the getting on this tonight. I'm a truck driver, and I'm going to have to really agree with the general, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, I most definitely, because I was raised in the military. My father's in the military. And so I've kind of seen both sides, too. And I'm going to tell you, right today, I was in Alabama, and me and some truck drivers got into it on my CB. And you hear the most racial slurs, just the duties of the job is hard at times. You got, like you said, you got these four-wheelers and cars, and they do piss you off. I mean, road rage is not like it's fake. It is live. It happens, and people have died from it just from in four-wheeler road rage. And 18-wheelers is such a big difference, too.
And don't you want to run one of those? Don't you want to run them right off the road, no matter who they are?
If I'm not wanting to run them off, they want to run me off. You know, so, yes, it's a battle. I mean, every day it is.
It's dog-eat-dog. It's dog-eat-dog out there. And when you've got some cracker, out there. And
wait, what are we talking about here? Racial slurs between black drivers and white drivers?
But let me get to the point. Let me get to the point about
you want to why drivers
guys,
need to run off. And you want to frag their ass. That's what you want.
The reason drivers need to month off, and you can compare it to the military with the killing and the suicide rate, is because most suicide and most homicides, emotional homicides, is done from a love dispersed. It's done from a love negligence. And like,
love dispersed. Right.
Love dispersed, did you say?
Don't worry, Mr. Henry. I understand what he's saying.
A love disconnect, man.
Love
disconnect. I'm away from home. I'm not seeing my children. I'm not seeing my loved ones. And I'm out here working,
and
dealing with the stress.
And you need to get back to love district. Yes.
Yes.
Love district.
Disconnect.
That's what I'm talking about as well, Mr. Henry. When these truck drivers are out there and they are removed from the love district.
What do you mean, love district?
It's the district that it's the district of love. And if you don't have it, then have a care is what I've got to say about that. Let me tell you what. Have a care.
Now, I don't know what love district is. This is a new term.
Why don't you ask that guy that called from San Diego that sounded like he swallowed his own tongue? You could ask him.
You know, Dr. Sadler called in to try to help you, and what he got from you was so much disrespect that at the end of that phone call, he wanted you to get blown up.
Yeah, I heard that. That's very healthy. Great psychologist. If God, thank God I wasn't coming to him in distress as a soldier who is having evil thoughts. The last bad thoughts that I had were when I was a truck driver and I wanted to do some damage with an 18-wheeler on a Mini Cooper. I can only hope and pray that the next time I feel that way, Dr. Sadler sits there in front of me with his big ears.
Well, how do you know he's got big ears?
A guy like that has probably got the most irritating silhouette on Earth. The most irritating silhouette on Earth. And I'll bet you if I was looking through the rear window of his Mini Cooper, which right away pisses me off, and I saw his silhouette, I bet you he's got big Dumbo ears. And nothing, and I mean nothing, irritates me more than looking and seeing the silhouette of a guy with big fan ears.
I think, General Shaw, if you are open-minded enough to listen, I think you have some issues. And because you have issues doesn't necessarily mean that others have issues.
No, I don't have issues. What I have is a normal irritation at a guy in a Mini Cooper that thinks he owns the road with his big ears and his psychology degree.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. Let's go to another call. We've got Carl on the line. Carl, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, like I said a while ago, I've been out here for 30 years on this road. I've never wanted to kill nobody. I've never wanted to hurt nobody. I'm not away from my family like everybody thinks you are. You're gone 7 to 14 days at a time. But if you keep in contact with your family, you got pictures of them, you've got your love with you all the time. And your love for your fellow man should be enough to keep you from wanting to hurt them. And I think people like the general and the other guy that was in the military, they're using their military disconnect to make us look like we're damn fools out here on this road, and we're not. There's a lot of civilian drivers out here that respect the fellow man, and those two do not respect each other or anybody else. And I think they both need to be put in a nut house somewhere.
Well, sir, I would ask you, are you familiar? So you're saying that you always remain within the love district?
Always. As long as I can talk to my wife and my kids on the phone, yes, I'm in the love district. You might be right.
Let me ask you this. You've got a Mini Cooper in front of you that just cut you off, and the guy driving it, his silhouette, two big ears.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Don't you want to run him down?
No, I don't. I want to stop and explain to him just how stupid he is for cutting me off at the incident that could happen to him. But no, I don't want to hurt him. That's the other thing from my mind is hurting somebody.
Right. This is what Carl just said. He said, respect for our fellow man, not just other drivers, not just other truck drivers, but our fellow man.
Well, that all sounds very nice and very cozy. And I appreciate, Carl, you and Mr. Hendry having the better view of mankind. But unfortunately, my name is Shaw. I'm a soldier. My job is to pick through the garbage on this earth, pick through the maggots, and throw them into the fire. You guys, you can sit there at home and be in your love district. Meanwhile, I'm out there with the zombies. Did you ever see the Living Dead? Did you see that? That's where I am. I'm out with all the ghouls, gunning them down, putting them on the fire. Gun them down, put them on the fire. That's my job.
What's that got to do with freeways and people driving safe?
I asked you a question. If the guy's in a Mini Cooper and he's got big ears, don't you want to run him over? And this guy wasn't honest.
Yes, he was honest.
Yes,
the problem
honest.
Is you're asking. Yeah, no kidding. You were honest. Your question's nuts. That's the problem.
And I say you're nuts. You're nuts for the things you've said.
Put that guy on 87. Put him on hold. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. If his silhouette has big ears.
That's right. You heard me right. I don't stutter.
Phil Hendry.
No, what I'm saying is, and welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, General Galen Shaw, as we discuss the rules of the road, the rules for truckers, and propose new rules that would have truckers take a month off for sabbatical so basically they don't flip out and try to run someone down. My thoughts on the current state of things for truckers is the following thing. You say you agree with me. I said, I think the road usage taxes are obscene. I think if anybody's going to pay a road usage tax, it ought to be people in cars, the four-wheelers, as they're called, not truckers.
Phil, I would ordinarily agree with that, but right now, with so many of these guys running around out there, and by, in my opinion, hanging by a thread, we need a road usage tax to keep some of these nuts home. And
you still haven't proven to me that there's one nut out there, with all due respect, General, other than you.
I have not driven a truck, Mr. Hendry, since I was in my early 20s. At that time, I had very abnormal thoughts. There's no question about it. I had very abnormal thoughts. And during that particular time, my relations with women were at a very abnormal and critical phase. There's no question about it. I've never denied any of it. But I'm telling you, if I was out there, then, my friend, there's got to be more than just me. I refuse to believe that I was the only one out there that had a tenuous relationship with the feminine sex and at the same time had a very profound and deep-seated problem with the way people's silhouettes look in cars. And
well, see, to me, that's very strange. What
is strange?
To be irritated by the shape of a silhouette in a car, I think, is a psychological problem.
Well, there's no question.
Okay, but I don't know how widespread it is.
I didn't hear what you said. It sounded, you said you don't know how it's spread?
I don't know how widespread
that phenomenon is.
Yeah.
I will bet you $1 million it's very widespread.
Well, that's hardly proof.
I'm betting you $1 million. You don't call that proof.
No, it doesn't. No, I don't call it proof. You don't. First of all, have you got $1 million to lose?
I'm betting you, if I lost, I'd have to pay up.
No, that's not proof. That's just a barroom bet, General, with all due respect. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Mike on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Phil. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, sir. Thank you very much.
I believe that this general is somewhat of an officer with conduct unbecoming, has no idea or clue what he's talking about. I've been driving a truck. I've got several patches. I've got several accolades from different companies that I've worked for. I've never once thought of harming anybody out here on the road. I've never once thought of doing anything outside of being nothing more than a professional on and off the road, whether I'm driving a truck or whether I'm jumping out of the back of a C-130 with the airborne unit. And with all due respect...
So you have military experience. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, sir. With all due respect, I believe you're shell-shocked.
All right, young man. Well, young man, I am not. I can tell you I'm not shell-shocked. And I can also tell you that you know as well as I do, had we not taken preventative measures, then we would have had a hell of a lot more guys that we couldn't bring home with us. And that's what I'm proposing we do now with the freight, the transcontinental freight. We get these truckers off the road and find out if they've got this problem with silhouettes or whatever their problem is.
You know, this thing, sir, with silhouettes.
I disagree, sir. I disagree. And the reason I disagree with you, sir, with all due respect, is the fact is that I work round the clock with some of the finest and utmost professionals in this job. And I would follow these guys down the road. I would follow them in combat. These guys are above and beyond the call of duty as far as professionals. These guys will stop and help you. These guys will stop and talk to you. These guys will show you things that show you shortcuts on how to do your job, show you ways of doing things that'll benefit you in the long run. Where you're sitting
here. Well, that is commendable, but let me ask you this question, because this is very key. If you were sitting shotgun riding up in the cab with one of these men, and you found yourself hearing him say something about the guy in front, his silhouette bothered him, would you then take action?
Yes, I would, sir. Yes, I would, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I've trained drivers for almost 14 years, sir. And with all due respect, I've never heard anybody worry about somebody's silhouette. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. I've never heard a truck driver out here wanting to harm somebody. You know, I've never heard of a truck driver. If you would take the time to look at the statistics on the national average, accidents involving trucks are the lowest they've ever been. You know why? Because the federal government keeps putting more and more regulations on top of us. As a professional, I have to stay on top of the regulations. I have to learn them. So there's every other driver out here. So therefore, you have to be able to separate the professional mentality you have from the mentality on a battlefield.
But I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that a frontal assault, when I knew a flanking action in seizing a gun emplacement, was the by-the-book war college tactic. I never thought that going right up the middle on the enemy would work, and yet it did twice in Vietnam.
Okay, look, General, can we not do... I don't like this comparison between battle in wartime in the Army and truck driving.
Well, this young man said he would take action if the driver with him had suddenly a silhouette problem. So I'm satisfied with that.
All right, let's go. Mike, thank you very much, and drive carefully, sir, and thank you
for
participating
thank you
tonight. 877-877-876-7445. Let me go over to Kevin on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes, sir. I'm kind of confused. I drive a truck. I was in the Army. I was a Ford Observer. And I'm completely astounded by the fact that this man was actually a general. He was appointed by the president, and he has this attitude. I don't see it.
What attitude? I don't understand. What attitude have I got? I'm trying to make the road safer. I'm also trying to make the road safer for drivers, so that our drivers have the right psychological treatment, and they're having the right rest and relaxation, so that they're not out there wanting to run a guy off into a river, into an aqueduct.
Well, sir, I'm sorry, but the Department of Transportation has rules and regulations that we abide by, and we can only drive a certain amount of time already. You said that you haven't driven a truck since your...
No, I haven't driven since I was 24 years of age. Worry about, when I was driving, it irritated me to see a guy in a really small car cut me off, and then I'd look through the back window and see his silhouette, and he had big ears. Now, I know that sounds crazy, and I know Mr. Hendry's laughing, and, well, you're doing it too, so what do you want me to say to you, Mr. Hendry?
If this was an actual psychological condition that you could cite for me in some kind of a psychological manual or book, or bring a doctor on to talk about it, I might believe you. But you're telling me...
I'm telling you I suffered from it, and this other guy I just talked to, the gentleman in the airborne.
No, all he said was if he had a driver with him who had a problem with silhouettes, he'd take the wheel from him.
Yes, and you two clowns, or excuse me for calling you a clown, but...
Oh, what difference does it make? You're calling the drivers around you gooks.
And that's another thing I don't understand.
Yes, sir. What don't you understand?
The terminology "gooks." You're generalizing everybody as a gook. That's extremely outlandish.
I realize it's extreme. But there are days when you're out driving a truck, just like there are days when you're out grocery shopping or getting your nails done. If you're a female, and everybody is a gook scrambling from the ville.
No, sir.
What
no.
the hell are you talking about?
That is extremely ridiculous. I don't generalize everybody as an enemy in combat. I'm not in combat if I'm at my house. If I'm with my son, I'm not in combat. I don't look at my neighbor as a potential threat. That's ridiculous. That's
I'm telling you, times are tough. Times are tough. And life is tough.
They make them tough. They're tough. Yeah.
And when you look at your son, you don't sometimes think, boy, this kid, if he wanted to, he could make a lot of trouble for me.
What?
You are insane.
you guys don't want to listen to an experienced man, fine.
I see no experience from you. None.
I'll pedal my papers, a general
is supposed to have. I'm a general.
I'm a private citizen.
I would be ashamed if I was under your divisional command.
Well, I would be ashamed. Well, then, son, you'd be doing a whole lot of latrine duty. This is General Galen Shaw out.
He hung up. I can thank you very much, Kevin. I share your disquiet about him, especially that whole silhouette thing. I think, personally, he ought to see a psychiatrist. There's no question.
I don't know. I mean, if anybody who's strapped on a pair of boots and they see this guy as a general, a high-ranking and they were like, this dude, I'm being punked. I've got to be punked.
Yeah.
Where's Ashton?
Yeah, no kidding. Where is he? Where is Ashton? He's probably with his latest girlfriend somewhere, but he ain't here. All right, Kevin. Thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. There goes Kevin on the world-famous Phil Hendry. What does he want?
See, he thinks he's being punked. So he knows there's something wrong with you, Hendry. And I knew there was something wrong with you the day I saw you with Ashton Cooper.
Anyway, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler has called us back and joined us with General Galen Shaw, no longer on the line, Dr. Sadler. That was quite an experience for you. Called earlier, and you did attempt to help the general, but I guess he took it to mean that, you know, you and I thought he was crazy.
Well, I was not going to stand for what he later, obviously in referencing me, attempted to impugn me and say that I provoked some violent reaction either in him or the violence that he felt I would have provoked it, not provoked it, but provoked in other people.
In what sense?
Well, when he referenced the fact that I do drive a Mini Cooper and my silhouette, if you want to say that I've got, I don't believe I have ears as pronounced as he says, but his quote, his direct quote was, give it to me again, Tiffany, what's the quote? Yeah, he said that I had a silhouette like I had big Dumbo ears, and that prompted a violent response in him. I think that is unconscionable. I will sit in any kind of a car I want, and if my silhouette, and I'll drive into the rising sun, and I think that's probably what he meant.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
What do you mean you drove into the rising sun?
Well, that's how pronounced my silhouette would be if I'm driving into the rising sun.
Oh, and then he's going to see the silhouette of your head and your big ears. Okay. Debbie Daly does a morning show on National Public Radio, and she is joining us now from New York tonight. And Debbie has just been driving around. Debbie does a, by the way, for those of you who don't know, Debbie does a morning show for National Public Radio. She is the first hearing impaired person to do a radio show at all for any big radio network, and she joins us on her newsmaker line tonight. She had just been listening to General Shaw as well. And Debbie, how you doing, hon?
Sorry, I don't understand.
She said, when you're purposely driving into the rising sun, doesn't that, aren't you trying to provoke something?
If I'm purposely driving into the, what is your name again?
Debbie Daly, she does a morning show on NPR.
All right. Debbie, I have large ears. And last time I checked, that's not against the law. Uh,
She said you have to understand that it probably is irritating. It would irritate the living hell out of her.
What would irritate the living hell out of you?
The fact that you have a couple of big fan ears.
You know, but both of you could. I don't care if she is hearing impaired. I hope a spike is good.
Are you there, Debbie? I know, but he hung up, and there's nothing that... what are you going to do? He... I don't know. Oh, I'm a douchebag. Okay, see you later. You know, I'll tell you something right now. Why do I got to talk to her for?
Because Mr. Hall said it's good for the program and make it look like you care about them kind of people.
Oh, it's good for the program. It makes me look like I care about them kind of people, huh?
That's what he said. He talked about it yesterday.
You know what I smell? I smell Hall calling her up and saying, hey, Debbie, I had a talking to Phil. Why don't you call the show, man? He'll put you on and you can rap. He's such a big shot. And let me tell you something else, too. I don't have to sit here and take these phone calls from her, and then at the end she gets off the parting shot about me being a douchebag either. Now, I will agree with her that, you know, Dr. Sadler, let me tell you what, anything about that guy irritates me. Anyway, why am I even talking about this?
Yeah, Debbie Daly called up and got to put her on the air.
I don't have to put her on the air. Why do I got to put her on the air?
Mr. Hall, when I have her on, so you sound like you care about people with his deaf.
Well, I don't care what Mr. Hall says. I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what his perceptions are. I'll put her on when I feel like putting her on. And I would not have stuck her on the air tonight had I known she was going to lock out with, see you later, douchebag. Oh, man. There's something very amusing about that.
What's funny about that?
I don't know. She's doing some NPR show. She's locking out with douchebag.
Got David Hall.
Oh, for God's sake.
He just wants to.
Yeah, David.
Didn't you know I was going to call, right?
What do you got to call about, man?
Phil, look, I don't want to. Let's calm down, okay?
What do you got to call about?
Let's calm down.
What do you got to call about?
Would you just calm down more?
What do you got to call about?
I'm sorry, a little bit more.
What do you got to call about?
Just whisper.
Get out of here, will you? Whisper.
Instead, he want to talk to you.
Is that... What, David, I'm not whispering, okay?
All right, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. When you start taking these people on, you don't know what you're fooling with. You don't know how powerful they are. You're suddenly laying out the game. You're letting everybody know what the game is. You're making them look stupid. You're making them look like a bunch of clowns. Phil, you're dealing with things, and you're messing with things that could blow right up in your face.
What is this? Some John Grisham novel or something? I'm talking about business.
Sure, you're talking about business. Love to believe you're talking about business. Everybody out there believes you're talking about business. I think you're talking about business. But the people that are way, way up, those are the ones that are hearing you. And they're hearing a guy that's out of line, a guy that's not on the team, a guy that's not on board. And you know what happens when you're not on board?
No, what happens?
Phil, don't be a jackass. Yeah.
What happens with a guy that's not on board?
Huh?
Oh, will you bug off?
I don't know.
A guy that's not on board. What's he mean about that?
I don't know, man. I wouldn't let it worry you.
Well, I'm not going to let it worry me, but...
Forget about it. He's kidding.
You were the guy a minute ago that said I was going to get fired.
I was just joking.
Oh, yeah, huh? You were joking. And what are you looking at?
Nothing, man. Nothing. I think everything's going to be okay.
Get him back on the phone.
Phil, I swear to...
Get him back on the phone!
David Hall.
David, it's Phil.
Ain't you got a show to do?
Yeah, I had a show to do until you came jumping in with this, hey, those guys upstairs. Now, what are you talking about?
Just don't mess with stuff you don't know anything about. When you start messing with the way that a guy eats, where a guy gets his food from, you're messing with a guy's rice bowl. You can't mess with a guy's rice bowl, Phil. You see, you're...
Would you knock it off with this Glengarry Glen Ross? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you spilling the beans on iHeartRadio. I'm talking about you talking about how you're getting stiff. I'm talking about you talking about how these guys are making dollars and you're making pennies. I'm talking about messing with a guy's rice bowl.
Dude, somebody's messing with my rice bowl.
What do you mean your rice bowl? I thought you didn't want to do the Glengarry Glen Ross. I was the...
Okay, that's it. I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Yeah, but he's making some points.
Get him out of here. I don't want to talk to him anymore. Messing with my rice bowl.
Phil Hendry.